I don't need to say anything. We're done. Let's go have coffee. Oh, thank you so much. Yes. Ah, wow. Okay. Yeah. So this is the second week. We started last week with a new theme, right, in April, called The Evolution of New Thought. And so last week we talked about the history of New Thought, part history, part really what New Thought is all about, why we even call it New Thought, ancient wisdom. And today, we're talking about a new direction. And it's interesting that it's also Palm Sunday historically. It's like, you know, we're starting on a new thought, a new belief, changing direction. Our new thought tradition is, what is our tagline? Change your thinking, change your life, right? So we're all about that. We're all about changing what we're doing, starting something new. So when we start with a new thought, a new belief, a new way to think about something, then we start on a new path. We, in effect, we change direction, yes? We change direction. So new thought leads to new action, leads to new direction, leads to new an outcome. It leads to new outcome. It changes our lives. You know, the path, I love Holy Week for that. You know, the path through Holy Week is an example of choosing a direction, right? Choosing a direction, walking the walk, surrendering to the greater life. Each every step along the way, you know? Because think about it, I mean, Jesus could have changed direction, right? He had free will, just like we all do. You know, for example, when he was standing at the gate of Jerusalem, but he had clear consciousness, he set clear intention, and according to Luke 19:41, he looked intently into the city and he said, even you had only recognized on this day the things that would make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes, right? And then he sighed, and he walked into the city. He had a clear direction of what his purpose was. He set his intention, he made his choice, and he fulfilled his commitment. But the consciousness came first, always. Ernest Holmes said this. He said, God cannot give us anything unless we are in the mental condition to receive the gift. Consciousness first. The consciousness must come first. So Jesus answered that call, and he was really clear about it. He was clear about the conscious connection. He was clear about the conscious intention, and he stepped forward into his greater good. So let's talk about our direction, right? Here we are. I mean, you know, we always talk about Jesus being the great example, not the great exception, right? The great example, the way shower. So here we are with our lives. So we have directions in our lives. So it's like, so taking a new direction. Oh, we're ending the Lent period, right? Lent, right? We give up something for Lent, don't we? Sometimes we do. I mean, sometimes we share in that ritual called Lent. I would rather call it Let's Entertain New Thought, because that's what I look at Lent. Let's entertain new thoughts. So really, that's what Lent is, right? Let's entertain new thoughts. So you give up an old thought and you replace it with a new thought. We want to change something. Lent is always a great time, right? That 40-day period to do something different with our lives. But you know, how are you doing with that? You know, how are we doing with that? It's a, you know, a new direction means, okay, so we're going to exchange one thought for another thought, and we're going to do something differently. And we start out, don't we start out like Paul in Romans 7:15? I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not. But what I hate, that I do. Right? Isn't that the way it goes? When we try to give up the bad habit or the old habit, we try something new, and we always like wind up doing the thing we hate, the thing we don't want to do. Yep, that I'm doing it. I just keep doing it. We're going to start that diet. We're going to start exercising, but then where are you like a month later or 6 weeks later, right? I'm going to watch less TV. I'm going to read more. I'm going to get off Facebook. And then where are you? You know, a couple of days, a couple of weeks, whatever. You go back to the old direction, right? So we're talking about new direction, a new direction, and what we need to do that. Talking about a new direction, what I think one of the greatest examples of a new direction is the story of the prodigal son. We all know the story of the prodigal son. How many times have we heard that? But let's look at it with new eyes. Let's look at it again, because we want to interpret it metaphysically, right? We're a metaphysical movement. This is a very symbolic story. And it's like all stories and myths and archetypal images, we have to interpret them very much like we interpret dream analysis. Every character in the story is us. Every character is us. Some facet of us, just like all the characters in our dreams, right, are some aspect or some facet of ourselves. All those roles are us, or they represent different aspects of us. The same is true for these mythological stories. Every single character in that story is us, the father, the son, the other son, the citizen, everybody. They're all us. So let's look at this, right? In the beginning of the story, a man had two sons. Well, isn't that convenient? Symbolically, we're talking about choice, yes? Right? Good and evil or you know, yes and no, this free will that we have, one or the other. The two sons represent that free will that we have. Moses said it another way. Moses said it, on this day I set before you both a blessing and a curse, right? It's the same thing. It is free will. It's free choice. Within us, both exist, the opportunity to take the high road or the low road. And then it goes on to say, the younger of them, it's always the youngest kid. Why is that? I'm the youngest. So the youngest kid says to the father, give me my portion of goods that falleth upon me. And the father divided them his living. That is awesome, first of all, because think about that. Father, spirit, right? Our highest self. Again, everything in this story is us. So that higher wisdom self, the God within us, doesn't question. It didn't say, hey, you know, you better stay home and finish school, you know, get a good education, get a job with medical benefits, you know. Father didn't say, hey, you know, I got a better idea. You know, you might want to invest the money instead, you know, stocks, bonds, something like that. Spirit just said yes. That's it. Here's what I want. And Spirit just said yes. It divided his fortune and gave. We get what we align ourselves with. No question. Spirit doesn't question. Spirit doesn't second guess. Spirit doesn't try to convince us otherwise. We align ourselves with a power and a principle, and it flows into our experience. Yes? So, it goes on. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. I love that phrase. Can you picture it? You know, gambling and hookers and, you know, well, anyway. I could just, like, you know, all kinds of things, you know. Naked ladies and, you know, and lots of booze. Yeah, right? I mean, riotous living. What a picture word that is. Okay. Here is the awakening of our creativity. Here's the awakening of our free choice. You know, here's where we're like, I can do anything with this. I can do anything with the good I've got. Cause and effect, baby. It's cause and effect, right? So he took the good that he got, and he went off and just went crazy, went wild and crazy with himself. The consequences of his choices. He took the cash and he blew it. He blew it all on riotous living. I love that phrase. I want to use that more. Okay, and look where he did it, in the far country. And that has real meaning for us, too. He was in the far country. That's the place where we feel we are away from spirit. We are separate from our good. We can never be separate from our good, because spirit is everywhere, right? Spirit is everywhere. We can feel out of touch. We can feel apart and separate and alone, can't we? So that's what the far country was. The far country was his feeling that he was separate from his good. Separate from his good. So he blew everything, and there he was all alone, feeling separate and apart out in this far country. Spirit is everywhere. It's us who feel separated. It's us who feel like our good is somewhere else. Story goes on. And when he had spent it all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. Well, of course, right? And he began to be in want. He began to be in want. And isn't that the way we feel when we feel separate from our good? When we feel separate from our unconditional love, from our source, isn't that the way we feel? We are in want. There's something missing. I want something. There's something. And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country who sent him into the fields to feed swine.
Great gig.
Okay. He joined himself to a citizen of that land. And you know what that means for us? Instead of going to source, he's looking to people, places, and things to fix him. And how often do we do that, right? We get into the, I'm going to fix my life thing. And instead of going to prayer, we go, okay, this person will fix it, or that job will get it, or this person, I can sleep with this person, it'll be better, or I can buy this house, or I can move to this city. I'm just going to keep changing things at the level of the effect, at the level of the material, the condition, and somehow I'm going to make it good. And that's what the citizen represents, right? Our attempt to fix things on the outside instead of on the inside. Go through all the material stuff. And when we're in want and when we feel separated, we do that, right? He's trying to fix his problems from the outside. We're trying to fix our problems from the outside, here and there and here and there. And instead of going to source, and he's still feeling apart. And the material world, I love this. He goes out to the material world, people, places, and things, the citizen, to help him, right? Get what he needs. And what does the citizen do? Sends him out in the fields to feed the swine, right? And for a nice Jewish boy like the prodigal son, hanging with the swine is not the thing to do, right? This is not a good thing. And so there he is, poor dude, right? Doing that. And the story goes on. And then he came to himself. Wow, there's the turnaround. Then he came to himself. He awoke. He awoke to his true nature. Aha, the aha moment, you know, the light bulb, the whole bit. Aha, he came to himself. This is the great awakening, isn't it? When we come to a teaching like this, aha. Ah, there's more to life than this, than laying with the pigs and feeding the swine and eating the husks, you know, the leftovers. I mean, imagine eating the leftovers that the pigs wouldn't eat. Okay. Ah, there's more to life than this. I was not made to suffer and to struggle and to live in lack and solitude and sadness. This is not the inheritance of the divine. This is not the way we were meant to live. Is this universe not a universe of abundance? Absolutely. Of course it is. And so there is this great awakening. The universe is limitless. The play of life upon itself is limitless. The expressions that come into form are limitless. And we align with that. And then our choices are limitless also. There is lavish abundance in all things, and it is up to us to align with a greater truth, to allow it to flow through us, to make it welcome so that we can experience these things. We must change direction. Our consciousness needs to change direction first so that we can then align ourselves with this good, so then it flows into our experience. And change direction he did, right? He got out of the pig pen, thank you, God, and he thinks, I should go home to my dad. This is like, you know, I'm miserable here. So he arose, and he came to the father. And when he was a great way off, the father saw him and had compassion, right, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, my gosh, that is awesome. Because what does it tell us? Remember, we're all the parts of this. Remember, this is all us. So when we turn and start heading in that new direction, spirit is already there. It's already there because spirit is everywhere, equally present. We know this. But when we turn to the truth, it's already there, shining on us. It has crossed the field. It's whatever distance we think we are away is the illusion, and it falls away, and your God is there all along. As soon as we repent, right? Ooh, biblical word, nasty. Okay. All it means is change direction. It means to change direction, repent, change direction. And that's what we're doing. We're turning toward the truth. And when he was still a far way off, spirit rushes out, fills the gap, rushes to meet him. Just even when he made the decision to change direction, spirit is already there. Spirit is already there doing the work, lifting us. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. Oh, my God. Beating himself. You know, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. And how many times do we beat ourselves up for the stupid choices we make? Anybody made a stupid choice in their life? Anybody at all made a stupid choice once or twice? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe I'm the only one. There's plenty of things that we look back on and we think, oh, my God. Just look at any picture of you in the 80s. Okay? You'll know. 60s. That too. Okay, so we've all made stupid choices. And so, and here's the great news. Here's the great news. The son starts beating himself up. I'm not even worthy, you know, when he's pounded on himself. I've sinned against heaven, all this stuff. I'm no good, blah, blah, blah. How many times have we done that, right? Really railing against ourselves. What does the father do? He's not even hearing it. He doesn't even hear it. What does he say? It's time to party, right? That's all the father does. The spirit within us doesn't forgive because the spirit is never condemned to begin with. It simply loves. So the son is busy beating himself up, and the father's like, party. You're here. It's now. Let's party. And it won't even address the self-flagellation. It won't even address the son's beating himself up. Won't even acknowledge it. Just talks about the fatted calf and the music and invite the neighbors over. We're having a party. The father could have said, you miserable little rat, thank you. Right? You miserable little sinner, you ungrateful kid, after everything I've done for you. You know? And now you come back after you've blown through your fortune. What, are you kidding me? But he didn't. The father didn't say that. The son just wasn't acknowledged for the guilt. There was no guilt trip. There was no guilt trolley ride. There was no guilt at all. Because there was no condemnation. Because spirit does not condemn us. Spirit doesn't need to forgive us. Because as soon as we turn, there it is, shining brightly. The truth that has been there all along. No mention of the mistake. Just knowing the truth. Just knowing the love. Just being the love in form. That's all it is. And what? It wants to party. Yeah, and so do I, right? I mean, that's the way we are. And we just want to party. So food is being prepared, and the fatted calf is, you know, sorry, but it's going off to get killed. Okay, and then what happens? Right? Remember the other son? Okay. So then the elder son comes in. It's always the oldest son, too, you know, the other one. Okay, the elder son comes in from the field wondering what's going on. There's a big party here. What's going on? You know, the lights are lit, the music is blasting, everything's going on. What's going on? Now remember, we're him too. Okay, we are all the characters in this play, so we're him too. The good son, right? He's the one we all identify with in this story. The one who stayed home, the one who did his work, the one who helped out around the place. No riotous living for him. He was the good son. He did the right thing, right? We all wanted to be him in the story. And so now he's thinking to himself, what am I, chopped liver here? What is this? You know, it's like, I've been here all these years, nothing. And this guy goes, blows all the money, and then comes back, and we're having a party. What's the deal? What is the deal? And so he's like, where's my party, huh? I've been doing this all these years. I get nothing. Self-righteousness, right? He is absolutely filled with a sense of self-righteousness. It's not fair. How many times have we said that? It's not fair. I did all the work. How come he gets the party? You know? And all the while, he's been living in the midst of plenty, hasn't he? All the while, he's been living in the midst of plenty and never, ever, ever thought to align himself with it. He's got nobody else to blame but himself, really. It was his choice. He did not align with the good. The good was all around him, right? And Dad said, hey, did you ever ask for a party? You know, I'd have thrown you a party too. Doesn't matter. There is good enough for all. You never asked. You never aligned with your good. Good was never allowed to flow into your experience because you never aligned with it and asked for it and demanded it. And we are him too, aren't we? Aren't we him too? when we go to work, and that person that just came back from Hawaii, and you go, "Did you have fun?" "Yeah, great." right? Because why is spirit given to somebody else? Well, hey, where's my party, you know? And instead of going, "Wow, that's for me too," we kind of go, "That guy is making $100,000 a year, and where's mine?" You know, we do that thing. So if spirit gives it to somebody else and not to me, what's the deal? We haven't aligned ourselves with that good. There is plenty enough to go around, and we need to align with it, welcome it in, and allow it to flow into our experience. But in order to do that, we need to change direction. We need to change direction. And Dad said to him, "Son, thou art ever with me. All I have is yours. All I have is yours." And Spirit is telling us that all the time. All I have is yours. Who are you to say no? Who do you think you are? No. Now, I would like to believe, I mean, that's where the story ends, right? The story ends, and it was meant that we should be merry and be glad, for thy brother is dead and is alive again. That was a little one, right? And what was lost is found. Yay, right? So he changed direction. He found a new direction. He found himself, remember? He came to himself. He came to the truth of his own divine nature. And there he was in the midst of plenty. And I really, really hope, I like to think, because the story just ends right there. And I would like to think that the older brother found that new direction also. You know, don't you like to think that he awoke too when he went, "Oh, really? I could have had a party too. Okay, so next week we're going to do one for me," you know, or something. I think that would be lovely. I'd like to think that he got that concept that there is good enough for all. And here is the moral of the story, if there is a moral to the story, is that that change in direction has to occur in consciousness first. It has to occur in consciousness first. The consciousness of any quality will precede its demonstration or its manifestation in our lives. Want me to say that again? The consciousness of anything precedes its manifestation in our lives. So remember when the younger son tried to change direction by doing everything on the outside, it didn't work. It's not sustainable. We cannot change by changing things outside of us. We must embrace the new direction in here. We must embrace the new direction in our hearts and our minds. We have to try it on for size, like the giant robe that they put on the young son. We have to try on the new consciousness and really feel it and know it and allow it to resonate through us in order to create lasting change. We must embrace that new direction in mind, in consciousness, before it can then outpicture as a condition in our lives. The prodigal son created sustained change in direction of his life once he had a clear and conscious intention for it. Once he had that greater idea, once he awoke, remember, once he came to himself, he realized who he was. He was a child of God. He was the outpicturing of the divine in form. And he got it. The Palm Sunday story and the prodigal son story, they are our stories. They are the tales we tell about ourselves. The fact that Jesus had that clear intention, that clear consciousness, and he aligned with it. You know, Ernest Holmes said he was the greatest example of someone who lived the peace of his wholeness within the tension of duality. A lovely thing. And that is a practice for us, to live the peace of our wholeness within the tension of the duality of spirit and body. We are form, we are physical beings, we are spiritual beings, we are all of that. And to live the peace of our wholeness, we can speak our word and change our world when we know of that wholeness. And so that Palm Sunday story where Jesus walked through with that clear intention that he set for himself and it unfolded before him is the truth of who we are. The truth of the prodigal son who took him a while to come to himself. But when he hit rock bottom and he did come to himself, he awoke to his divine nature. He awoke to his wholeness. We are that. We are that. And it is up to us to come to our wholeness by embracing the truth of who we are. We are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. That is the truth of us. And a new thought in any time of the day, any point in your life, that new thought brings about a new action that provides for us a new direction. And we are all headed there. Thank you so much. Woo-hoo. Come on up, come on up.